Well, in a democracy, you always need to have your guards up because, you know, as they say, if you sleep in a democracy, you will have a very rude awakening in tyranny.
Well, it's a very special episode of Gray Matter Today. It's the first one that we've done with our new producer, The Miracle Channel. In honor of this special occasion, we have a very special guest. Some of you who follow the show regularly will know that last May we had on the German freedom fighter, Christine Anderson, and she's back. She's back to talk to us about a very special and exciting Canadian tour that she's going to be undertaking very soon. So before we get to her and sort of introduce her properly, as we always do, we're going to go to our aphorisms board, and we have a few today that hopefully will resonate with you. The first one is from someone who Christine has occasion to talk about, our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who is quoted as saying, "Fear is a dangerous thing. Once it is sanctioned by the state, there's no telling where it might lead. It is always a short path to walk from being suspicious of our fellow citizens to taking actions to restrict their liberty. If only he would take his own advice in that regard." Secondly, from George Orwell, "One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes a revolution in order to establish a dictatorship." Next, from Lord Acton, a very famous quotation. He once wrote that all power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's one that maybe Klaus Schwab should pay attention to. And finally, a very famous one from the Reverend Martin Niemöller. "First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." So who do we have on the show today? Christine Anderson was elected as a member of the European Union Parliament, where she has served since the 2nd of July, 2019. She has been active in politics since she was 23 years of age, and she's helped her fellow citizens as they fled communist East Germany in the late 1980s. And if you saw the first interview with her, which I would encourage you to watch on Gray Matter, she talked about her father's courageous journey from East Germany. Christine has always been a champion of the underdog and is a resolute defender of human rights for all. Hers is a value system we want to use as a basis for measuring up. Thus the slogan, "What would Christine Anderson do?" which is kind of the theme of her Canadian tour. Anderson has become a beacon of transparency, truth, and freedom, justice for many people around the world, especially here in Canada. So welcome to the program, Christine Anderson. It's a pleasure to have you back on Gray Matter.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on, and I'm quite honored. Thank you.
So, willkommen to Canada. What made you decide to do a Canadian tour? What was sort of the genesis of the idea?
Well, first of all, I have never had the pleasure of actually visiting your beautiful country. I always kind of wanted to, never get around to it. And then, you know, when all of this started, especially in Canada, the infringement of fundamental rights, and protesters were being labeled as terrorists, had their bank accounts frozen, and all of this, that really got to me. I will have to say that, because Canada is one of the countries, or among those countries, who didn't even bother to disguise their illiberal means anymore. And that really got to me, and I got very invested. And then plus, just to think about, you know, the bravery of the truckers just saying no and doing some, actually doing something about it. And like I said back then, that pretty much sparked a lightning, went throughout the world. There was a spark of hope, and that's exactly what people needed. And that started in Canada. So, yes, at this point, I have taken a very strong interest in Canada, and I have had the opportunity over the last months, or the last 2 years, if you want, to actually kind of get to know to Canada, to where the Canadian people are coming from, and really get a feel And I'm very excited that I'm finally will be able to come to Canada. And I'm really looking forward to seeing your beautiful country.
Yeah, so we're excited to have you in Canada. I know in Calgary, which is in the province of Alberta where I live, you're going to be there on the 18th and 19th of February. And then you're going to be in Toronto on February 21st, Whitby on February 22nd, and then Montreal on February 23rd and 24th. So a bit of a whirlwind tour. And I'm sure you're going to see some really, really beautiful places in our country. Let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be talking about, because there's a lot going on in the world right now, isn't there? Obviously, we have this little event going on in Davos, which is of interest to people like you. What's your take now in terms of the World Economic Forum and the global elites? This is something you've talked about a lot. What's your take on where things are right now? Some people are saying, for example, that maybe the power and the interest in the World Economic Forum is waning because, for example, Mr. Soros and Mr. Schwab are not actually there this year. Do you agree with that? Or do you think that we need to be really, really on guard and concerned about this globalist agenda that's being advanced by people like Mr. Schwab?
Well, in a democracy, you always need to have your guards up because, you know, as they say, if you sleep in a democracy, you will have a very rude awakening in a tyranny. So you always need to be aware of what's going on. And if you say that, you know, the interest in whatever WEF is doing and the globalist elites are doing is kind of weaning, I would really want to caution people because that is part of the game. It's like a tactical retreat. They may have noticed that it didn't quite work out with whatever they were trying to do with this whole COVID madness. So they're tactically taking a step back to kind of fool the people into thinking, you know, it's all over now. We're not going to do anything else. But the contrary is true, though. Behind the scenes, of course, they continue to work on pushing their agenda. And even though they may not be as outspoken right now, they are still working on their plans. And we see the evidence of all of that. Look at the WHO. Once again, there is amendments proposed to have the contracts renegotiated. They don't give up. The EU, we have the matter of EUID, which they will continue to push. And that in and of itself just shows that this whole digital green certificate, this COVID pass, like I said, it was just a test balloon to see or to get people used to having to produce and show something before they enter a store or get on a bus or whatever. So all of these things are still in the works, and they will not give up on that. Like I said, they may lay down for, you know, some time now to get people to focus on something else. I mean, we have a war going on in Ukraine right now. That's just perfect for people to focus on something else. But they are still working on it, and they will come back on all of this. And there are so many things going on. I mean, you might have heard in Great Britain, there was some county, they just passed legislation to have basically climate lockdowns, where people will be locked down in their county and they're not allowed to leave it whenever someone says, well, we have, you know, some kind of a climate emergency. So, it continues to go on, and we really need to be have our guards up, and the people need to understand they are out to get all of us.
Mm-hmm. I know from speaking with you previously that you have very deep personal reasons for being concerned about a sort of a descent into socialism. Speaking of Klaus Schwab, there was a piece recently I read about Klaus Schwab telling the World Economic Forum that global challenges are catalysts for an economic transformation. In your view, is that economic transformation to something amounting to socialism? When we talk about these climate lockdowns and COVID lockdowns and things of that nature, depopulation of the earth, is that the economic transition that he's talking about?
Well, yeah, of course it is. Because what they're trying to establish is pretty much a world where you have a few privileged, and they're sitting on billions and billions of dollars. And but the rest of us, you know, the regular people, we are just supposed to be, we're not supposed to have any input on whatever they decide to do. We're just pretty much laborers, you know, if you want, slave laborers even, because someone has to, you know, see to all the work that needs to be done, obviously, but they want to have it their way. And you see so many things they're trying to push right now, like cutting down on individual mobility, like cars are all bad now, and we're no longer allowed to actually own a car. That's what they're working on, and that's what they're striving for. Then you have the issue about food supply. We're now getting acquainted to the idea of eating bugs and insects and all of this. I mean, just people really need to understand they're not doing any of that, and they're not pushing that agenda because they like us and because they want us to have a better life. No, they themselves want to have a better life, but someone has to provide for that. Mm-hmm. And that's, guess what? It's going to be us.
Mm-hmm. It's almost a return to feudalism, where you have the rich barons at the top and all the serfs at the bottom, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they have gotten clever enough by now, though, to understand we cannot, you know, just force people to do this, you know, like in an authoritarian way. Oh, we do it differently. We tell them it's for your own good. So you kind of have to do this, you know, if you want your kids to be able to live on the planet and all of this. So they're trying to mask it as something that's beneficial for us. But when you take a really good look, and if you understand the mechanisms that are at place here, then you will can only come to one conclusion, and that is, it's not our benefit thereafter. On the contrary.
There's an old saying that the left always goes too far. And there are signs that this is occurring and some signs of hope. For example, there was a story out of Scotland that the British government has moved to block a Scottish gender identity law that would make it easier for people to change their genders. So that there are signs that people are beginning to wake up and react appropriately to these attacks upon let's say Western culture, which go all the way down to the way we identify ourselves. And of course, identity politics, that's one of the key features of this whole agenda, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And once again, it's just another attempt to rob us of our identity, to rob us of who we are. You see attempts at, you know, depriving us of our natural national identity, of our cultural identity, especially, you know, the Western democracies, we're all that bad and all evil. And, you know, there's, the colonies we had and all of that, all that plays into that. So we are pretty much taught to hate ourselves as far as that is concerned. And the next step they're taking now is to rob us of our very identity of who we are. Your biological identity, that's the very core of what makes us, you know, who we are as human beings. And now they're grabbing that, and they're literally depriving us of that. And it kind of like goes along. I mean, if you can be anything at any time and can change it even, you know, on an everyday basis, then who are you going to be in the end? You're going to be nothing. And yeah, that's pretty much what they want for us, to be nothing, have no identity. And that will make us perfect candidates to just, you know, be part of some malleable mass they can do with whatever they want to. That's their ultimate goal.
Christine, coming back to your Canadian tour a little bit for a moment, I expect you know that the comments that you made last year about the Prime Minister publicly and even in the EU made you something of a heroine for a lot of people in Canada. And so I think you're going to find when you visit our country that there are many, many people who are very excited to meet you and who admire you very much. But I know from speaking with you and from following you, you're a very purposeful person. And I know that this tour is not for you just to come to Canada and get some sort of fan adulation. I expect that you have a very specific purpose behind your tour and that you want to accomplish something by it. And can you perhaps elaborate upon that and explain why you've decided to come to Canada? Because I know you're a very dedicated politician and I would say crusader for truth. So you want to just sort of explain what you hope to achieve through your Canadian tour?
Well, in part, of course, it is. I would just love to get to know to your beautiful country. But there is obviously another part to it. And I was just so stunned at the bravery that the Canadian people were capable of acting upon. Given the circumstances that you guys had to put up with over there, I mean, we are talking about, freezing bank accounts, threatening people's livelihoods and all of this. I mean, this was basically fully blown totalitarian regime back then, or it might still even be the case. But this bravery is what we need in the world if we want to ensure that our children will not have to live under authoritarian rule. And it takes a lot of guts for a people to actually stand up and do something about it rather than trying to comply and thus empowering whoever is trying to exercise power over you. This just, to me, it was so astonishing. And I just decided I want to meet the people who actually understand what it is all about to live in a democracy and what it is about to defend your freedom and your rights. And I want to meet these people because there was here I was, obviously, I was standing up and I was, saying things that I'm sure Trudeau didn't like to hear, but it wasn't me doing that. It was the Canadian truckers and it was the Canadian people who stood by them, who actually got all of that, the ball rolling. And I would just like to acknowledge that. And that's why I decided to come to Canada to just see firsthand what real brave people look like.
Well, the Canadians who will come and see you are very excited to meet you and to listen to you. I wish I could tell you that the situation in Canada had improved from last year, but unfortunately, it's only gotten worse. In fact, if anybody goes on to the World Economic Forum website and looks at their agenda, you could basically overlay that over the Trudeau government's policies, and that's what we're dealing with. Canada has become a world leader in euthanasia. We have the fourth largest supply of oil and gas in the entire world. But our government has just announced plans to suppress and shut down that industry. Our prime minister has denied Germany and Japan natural gas that would have helped it, especially Germany, reduce its dependency upon Russia and other places in the world for oil and gas. So unfortunately, the problems that were prevalent and which led up to the Freedom Convoy have not gotten any better. In fact, they've gotten worse. Our Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, who is George Soros' acolyte, is actually in Davos, and she's participating in the World Economic Forum Summit. The problems in Canada continue. And I wonder if you'd agree with this, Christine. Canada is a key player on the global stage because not only of our history as a free nation, as a nation that has welcomed people from around the world, but also because we are a resource-rich nation with this history of liberty. And I think that, and I think I expect this is part of the reason why you've made the comments that you have. Canada is a key feature because if Canada goes down, if we are a nation which descends into socialist or totalitarian tyranny, that's going to be a great loss globally for everyone in the world who wants to live freely and in prosperity. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely agree with you on that one. Canada plays a major role in all of this. I mean, you know, compared to Germany, we don't have natural resources. I mean, our school system is pretty much now down to shreds. And, you know, the only thing we did have going for us was always our brains. And we always had an exceptional school system that brought forth, you know, a lot of people with bright minds and all of this. This is all going down the drain now. So Germany is not going to be having a major role in the years to come. And speaking on, you know, we gotten ourselves into a fix that we are dependent on Russian gas, which, by the way, Donald Trump, rightly so, pointed out at a UN summit. And the members of the German government, they were just sitting there and they were laughing their butts off at how stupid a comment, you know, the president would make. And they kept reassuring the German people in the days after that, that we are not nowhere even close to be dependent upon Russian gas. Well, guess what? You know, we were. And it turned out February 25th of last year, that's exactly what we were. So, but like I said, this is really the scary part that we're facing right now. Is you see all of this illiberal attempts of taking away democracy, freedom, and the rule of law. You see it in every single Western democracy. And the reason I emphasize that to that an extent is simply this. This has been going on in China for quite some time now. Well, I don't expect anything else from China. China is a totalitarian regime. Things have been going on like that in other totalitarian regimes. I do not expect them to be any different. But we, the Western democracies, are supposed to be the good guys. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Turns out we're not. Mm-hmm. They're also out to get to the people and suppress them. And that I will never, never stand for, and I will do whatever I can to try to prevent that.
Dear Canadians, do not give up. You are on the right path, and many people around the world are with you in their thoughts and wishes.
Mr. Trudeau, you are a disgrace for any democracy. Please spare us your presence. Thank you.
We're coming to the end of our time with Christine here. She's very busy. She's got a lot to do. And so we're going to turn, as we close here, to our reading list. And I've chosen a book today that Christine might be familiar with. It's called Against the Great Reset, 18 Theses Contra to the New World Order. This book is written by a gentleman named Michael Walsh. And it's described here, it's available on Amazon. Much more than a collection of essays by eminent writers, Against the Great Reset is intended to kick off the intellectual resistance to the sweeping restructuring of the Western world by globalist elites. Find out what the Great Resetters ultimately have in store for you and join the intellectual resistance before it's too late. So that's our selection for today. Christine, do you have any books or resources or websites or things of that nature that you would refer people to, either related to your Canadian tour or just things that you think would be useful to them in gaining a better understanding of the type of causes that you're fighting for and also fighting against?
Well, I would think people really need to understand the mechanisms that are at play here. And there is actually a really good book out on that. It was published recently. And it's called The Psychology of Totalitarianism. It's by Matthias Desmet. And I would really urge people to try and get a copy of it and really understand the mechanisms that they're applying to get us in line and to ensure the compliance they need so they can live in the world they want to have for themselves. And it also gives insight into the kind of world that they will have reserved for us.
So, Christine, if you wouldn't mind, just a final word. I'm interested to know this, and this is a tough, but I know you're not a Las Vegas odds maker, but does it feel like we're winning? I know, because you've been involved in this fight, that looking back over the past few years, and it goes back further, but coming out of COVID-19, you've said the fight is not over, But do you feel like perhaps the tide has turned, and that people are waking up to the kind of message that you are sending, and that there is hope that we're actually going to defeat these people who want to destroy everything that we value and hold dear?
Well, I actually do see a lot of things shifting right now. I do see a change. Obviously, you have parliamentarians, you know, that are kind of now seeing, okay, the cards are kind of shifting, you know, to the other side. And they come around because they will do whatever they have to do to be on the right side. So, I see a lot of change. And this, I cannot, you know, stress it enough. It started to a big extent with the Canadian truckers. And like I said, I'm really excited to come to Canada and to meet all of these people that made it actually possible that we can change things. For that, I will be ever and eternally grateful to the Canadian truckers.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Grey Matter, and wish you much success and happiness. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
We're here with Bethan Nodwell, who is responsible for organizing the exciting Christine Anderson tour, the What Would Christine Anderson Do? So, Bethan, welcome. And could you tell us a bit more about the tour?
Thank you very much for this opportunity, Leighton. The tour is like an inspiration from Christine Anderson, but this is really about promoting freedom. And we are still locked in a situation with this government where we don't feel the support politically. And so someone is coming from overseas who has been supporting us on the political realm and is going to reinforce us again with our beliefs in freedom and to stand up for ourselves and to defend ourselves politically and verbally and legally. This is what we are attempting to do. She's going to bring a lot of hope and inspiration, and goodness knows in these times we need it. And I look forward to meeting you, Leighton, and meeting the rest of the Canadians who love Christine Anderson and want to be a part of this.